She loved that song, "The Cross Has a Final Word." She loved that. What is the final word of the cross? Yeah, I mean, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you, it was dealt with at the cross. Jesus had the final word on our behalf. Love that. Man, the Spirit's moving me this morning. I got things stirring, so watch out. We'll see. We hope the Lord keeps working. So if you are visiting with us just this morning, if you are our guest, well, I hope you feel that Spirit. That's the first thing. I hope you, when you walk in the room, I hope you feel the Spirit of God residing in this place. And I also hope that you feel the love of His people in this place. We want you to. That's our heart's desire, is that you feel welcome here, that you feel loved. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. I invite you. You've got a blue stripe on the top that says guests. Would love for you to fill that out and let us know who you are. You don't have to do that, but would love for you to. And if you want to be on our email list, I try to send out once a week, try to send out email. I'll try not to deluge you with, is that the word? Deluge? Is that? Yeah, that's a good, I didn't even know I knew that word. I try not to do that, to send you too many, but it keeps you informed of what's going on. How many of you went to the Splash Festival, either the picnic or the Splash or both? Man, there was a bunch of us. There's about 200 or so between the two events that went, and that was a great night. Even though it was like 1,000 degrees outside, it was still good. So if you are our guest, we hope you're not our guest for long. We hope you become part of our family. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer. Would love to meet you, and I have a free gift for you if you are a guest. So just would love to meet you. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians 6. We're wrapping up Galatians today. Thank Brent for bringing the word last week. I don't know, he's maybe helping somewhere. Is Brent back there? Is he napping somewhere? Okay. Brent brought a good word last week. Appreciate him doing that. We will complete Galatians today. Galatians 6, beginning in verse 1, and I'm going to skip a little bit, but I'll let you know where I'm going here. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 7. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. We talked about this some last week or 2 weeks ago. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is new creation. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you. You are welcome here. We invite you now, if you would speak to us in power and authority. If, Lord, we know that that's the only way you speak is in power and authority. So we invite you to speak, and we invite you to change our hearts. Transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I read about this lady named Mary, and she called a friend of hers to check on her, see how she was doing. So she called her friend, and she said, how are you doing? Her friend responded, well, I've got a terrible headache. My back and my knees are killing me. The kids are crazy. The house is a mess. And Mary was full of compassion, and she said, I'm coming right over. You go lay down, rest. I'm gonna cook a nice meal. I'm gonna clean your house. I'm gonna take care of your children and let you get some rest. And she said, by the way, how's Sam doing? And the other lady said, Sam? I don't have a Sam that lives here. And she said, oh my goodness, I must have called the wrong number. And the lady said, well, are you still coming over? Okay, maybe that really didn't happen, but can you hear the desperateness of this lady? It's like, please, somebody help me. What was that guy's name? I'm showing my age. He used to be on Hee Haw. Clower? What was it? Jerry Clower. He tells a story about how he got treed with a mountain lion or something, and tells his friend to shoot up in the tree, and the guy said, I may hit you. He said, somebody's got to have some relief here. I love Jerry Clower, but anyway, I tell how old I'm getting when say something to our youth pastor and the youth about Hee Haw, and they go, what? Hee Haw? What's Hee Haw? Oh, come on, man. Yeah, because I told you what Hee Haw was. Anyway, Hee Haw, yeah. So, isn't it amazing as we've worked through this book of Galatians, and I've said, you know, that this is kind of Paul's angry letter. I mean, he's upset because he had shared the gospel, the true gospel, with this church, and they had accepted it and embraced it and understood that they're saved by faith through grace and by grace through faith, and that it's not works that matter, and they had embraced that. And then the Judaizers, who are the Jewish people who kind of sort of accepted Christ, but they're trying to make everybody still go by the Old Testament law, and they'd come in and go, oh, hey, you gotta eat the right food, you gotta be circumcised, you gotta do all this stuff, and Paul's kind of upset. And he even says in chapter 1, we talked about, if anybody shares a gospel other than the one that I preach to you, here's what he says, let him be eternally condemned. He's hacked off. He's mad. Because they're teaching this false gospel that we receive eternal life through our works. So isn't it amazing that now in chapter 6, he's talked for five chapters here in this letter, he's talked about that we are saved by grace through faith. And then all of a sudden he says, don't go grow weary of doing good for others. I mean, you're supposed to, your faith is supposed to have action attached to it. And so we need to understand that. And so many times, and I've read surveys about this, that people, even people that are professing Christians, and they've done surveys with them, you know, what does it take to get to heaven? And it was 70-something percent said to be a good person. Hello, is this on? It'd be Brent. Is this on? Remember, I liked that last week. You kind of honored me by you doing that last week. People that are professing Christians and go to church, 70-something percent of them say, you got to be good to go to heaven. Is that it? No, we're saved by grace. Grace means we receive something we don't deserve. The cross has the final word, and guess what? We need it. I don't know about you, but I do. And suddenly, so he shifts from this message of grace by faith, and then he starts talking about, but don't grow weary of doing good, for at the proper time you're going to receive a harvest. And this is getting into a kind of a deeper theological discussion that I'm happy to have with you. But I remember one of my professors at seminary said, we're saved by grace, but we're judged by works. Now that's kind of deep. We got to unpack that one a while, which we're not going to do this morning. But there's still, even though we're saved by grace, there's still something expected of us. There's a response. And Paul is saying to us, don't grow weary of doing good. So we conclude the sermon series today, lessons from Galatians. Today's message is, as you might expect, never grow weary. So he kind of talks about these different things that are important that we should not grow weary of in this chapter 6, and I've just kind of picked three areas that I kind of think he's trying to point us to. And the first is, never grow weary in your desire to love and serve others. Billy mentioned, I think the last couple of weeks, he mentioned Carol, who passed away this past week, that was our guest in our little house, our tiny house. I don't know if you understand the significance of it, because you, this church, because you contributed financially and with your labor and your sweat and your prayers, we built a house. And Carol, who had cancer, came to be a part of that house, to live in that house while she was receiving treatment. And many of you prayed for her and cleaned the house in preparation for her to be there and gave her transportation and food and so many different things, got her to her medical appointments and so forth, and loved on her. And she ultimately accepted Christ in our tiny house. And she was baptized in the bed in our tiny house. Now, that's not to receive, that we should receive glory, but I'm just telling you that we should not grow weary in our desire to love and serve others, because God moves in that. And too many times we are consumers as Christians. What can the church do for me? Yes? Anybody besides me ever been there? What is the church offering me? But here's the gospel. We're supposed to be the ones offering to the world. We come here to recharge and to be replenished and to be empowered, and then we go out in mission. And Paul is saying to us, don't grow weary in doing that. Keep doing it. If someone, and this is interesting, verse 1 and 2 here. If someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. So I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to mention it again. We got a call several months ago, it might have even been a year or so ago, from someone from another denomination that nobody knew. They just called, and we've got the recording of it on. They've left a voicemail, and they basically spent about 2 minutes telling us why we were all going to hell. We didn't know this person. And you could hear the vitriol. There's another word I didn't even know I knew. You could hear the anger and the disdain for us in this person's voice. And they basically offered us no hope. It was just like, because you don't believe the same things exactly the way I believe, and you don't go to the same exact denomination that I believe, you're going to hell. You're eternally condemned. And I listened to it, and I'm thinking, well, dadgum, if I'm going to hell, help me. Give me some hope. If you think I'm going to hell, what do I do? There was none of that. And so what Paul is saying to us is, we need to get our act together. You who are spiritual, we need to get our act together and then restore people gently, not with condemnation. Like, I got it together, you don't. Now let me just heap condemnation on you. No. You who are spiritual, restore them gently. Watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So Paul is saying, don't grow weary in your desire to love and serve others. Now, I'm just saying this morning, I'll let the Lord convict each one of us. If we, maybe some of us have been in that consumer mode. I'll go to church when I feel like it. I'll be involved if I feel like it. I'll serve if I feel like it. If there's a fun event over at the water park, I'll go, but that's it. Or I'll go on Easter But that's it. I mean, what if we that is that consumer, like, I'm going to do just enough. Man, I'm telling you, if we truly understand the brokenness, and flip on the news. If you want to see the brokenness of our world and our culture, flip on the news for 5 minutes. I've had to throttle back on my news watching because it's like needles constantly. But if we understand the brokenness of our world and the brokenness of people, and we understand that Jesus is the solution, and we're not passionate about that, then we probably don't have it. I'm just saying. Then we probably don't get it. Never grow weary in our desire to love and serve others. And secondly, never grow weary in your pursuit of the Spirit. I talked about this 2 weeks ago in chapter 5 quite a bit, but there's this battle raging against us. One is against us and one is for us. One is the sinful nature, the flesh that says, hey, if it feels good, do it. You know, just fulfill your desires. And that's our culture. It's like, hey, I got every right to do this. I'm just going to do this. And what Scripture tells us is that if you sow to please the sinful nature, then from that nature, from the nature of sin, you reap destruction. When you're sowing into that, I'm just telling you, as a pastor, I see it all the time. That we sow into the sinful nature, and the sinful nature reaps destruction in our life. It breaks up marriages. It causes lost jobs, careers, relationships. It can ruin our health, on and on and on, when we sow into that. But then it goes on to say, but the one who sows to please the Spirit, they reap from the Spirit, they reap eternal life. And so there's this battle raging in us. And what Paul is telling us is, don't grow weary in your pursuit of these things, the Spirit. Reject this, the sinful nature, the flesh, because it I promise, it's gonna mess you up. That's theological language there. It'll mess you up. But this produces life. The Spirit produces life. So what are we, which one are we pressing into? People ask me all the time, how do I do that? It's like, reject that and press into this. Ask the Lord, Lord, send me more of your Spirit. I need your Spirit. Help me to reject these things of the flesh. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians. This is Paul again talking to the church in Corinth. He says, a man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. You ever hear that? I've got people in my life, or people in my family, not my immediate family, but extended family, that don't get it. They don't. What I'm telling you right now, they don't get it. And the things of the Spirit are just foolishness to them. This whole discussion about a battle and the flesh and the Spirit, that they don't get it. This is the Spirit is foolishness. But it goes on to say they are foolish to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You can't understand spiritual things without the Spirit. Hello, anybody listening? You can't understand spiritual things unless you are filled with the Spirit. So, ask. That's what Scripture tells us. How do we get the Holy Spirit? Ask. Ask the Lord. Send me your Holy Spirit. Every Sunday, we invite the Holy Spirit in this place. And every time I'm preparing a sermon, I invite the Holy Spirit to feed me what I need to feed y'all. Because we can't understand spiritual things unless we're filled with the Spirit. So never grow weary in your pursuit of the Spirit. Thirdly, never grow weary in your longing for transformation. And Paul got it, man. He got it. He says in verse 14, "May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." And he goes on in another one of his letters, he goes on and he goes, "You want to boast? You want to boast about stuff? Well, let me give you my list. I was, you know, this and I was that and I did this." And he just goes down through this litany of accomplishments that he had in the flesh. But then he goes, "I never boast, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is new creation in the Spirit." It's like, I mean, and it's a wonderful thing that so many of us in this church, I'm so blessed, I say this all the time, I'm blessed to be your pastor, I'm blessed to be a part of this fellowship, because I think, for the most part, I think we get it. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the choir when I preach these things, but we don't work at the tiny house, the houses for healing, because it makes us good. We don't go to the food pantry because it makes us good. We don't pass out turkeys on Turkey Tuesday to the carbonary because it makes us good. We do that because we want to share the love of Christ. We want to share the love of Christ because there's a mission on our life. Do not conform, Romans, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Spirit. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. You know, I tell people all the time, there are things that we just know, we don't have to really pray too hard to find out if God, you know, it's like, should I cheat on my income tax, Lord? Lord, tell me, I'm praying, should I cheat on my income tax? We don't have to do that. Why? Because we know that's not what God's called us to do. But sometimes we are trying to decide, should I date that person? That's not a for set yes or no. Should I marry that person? Should I leave this job and pursue this career? Should I forgive this person? Should I restore relationship with this person? I mean, on and on and on. If we're filled with the Spirit, then it transforms our mind and we begin to think like Him. Don't you want to think like Him? You know, and I'll tell you, we're coming up. We're a year plus away, and Lord help us all from the next election. But because we're going to be, you know, deluged. There's that word again, with ads and all that stuff. But it's like, did you know that God has an opinion on everything? He has an opinion on who should be our elected leaders. And here's the thing. His is the only one that matters. His opinion is the only one that matters. God's not Republican. He's not Democrat. He knows who He wants to place in power. And so, do we seek Him? Do we seek Him before we vote? You know, do we seek Him before we do anything? God has an opinion. It's the only one that matters. So, man, wouldn't it be nice to have the mind of Christ, where when we think something, it's in line with Christ. Longing for transformation. So, again, I've kind of hit this before, but transformation is the work of the Spirit in you. And to do that, to be transformed, You have to place yourself in position to be transformed. There's the scripture that says we're God's workmanship, His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, and which He's prepared for us. So He wants us to be doing His work, and we're His masterpiece. The problem is, and if you can imagine this pulpit here being His workbench, and we can place ourselves. He doesn't run out and grab you and tie you down to His workbench, church. We have to place ourselves on His workbench. He gives us free will to do that or to not do that, to choose. Well, And then if we place ourselves on his workbench, the master goes to work. He's working in us. He's chiseling off the bad chunks. Anybody ever had a chunk chiseled off besides me? And sometimes it hurts. And when he starts doing his work, we have legs. We can get up and walk off the bench. But we have to place ourselves on his bench. And how do we do that? Pray. And pray is not just talking. Prayer is also listening. Lord, sometimes I just sit and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll do this a lot when I drive. Okay, Lord, I'm here. What do you have to tell me? I'm listening. And I try to especially do that when I'm on trips where I'm in the car for a couple hours or so, and I just, Lord, I'm here. What do you have for me? And sometimes prayer is pouring our heart out to him, but sometimes it's letting him pour out his heart to us. Worship, man. And I tell people this all the time. I hope that you love our church, and I hope that you come to our church and be a part of our church. But if not this one, find one. Find one where you fit. Find one where you are being ministered to. Find one where you can serve out of. Find one that is biblically solid, true to God's word. Worship, come, man. Worship is fuel to our soul. Get in his word. Don't rely, I say it all the time, don't rely on me to tell you what this says. Please don't. I hope that you come and I hope that you hear the true interpretation of God's word and the presentation of his word. But man, you have a gift. This is a gift. You get to read it. People died so that you could have one of these in your home, in your hands. Get in the word. Fellowship with fellow believers. That's why I tell people, man, it's one thing to come to church and we can worship, and that's all those are good things, but we need to connect. We need to connect. We call our community groups for a reason, but the community where we come together and we share life together. Sunday school classes. We got some great Sunday school classes and teachers. Connect with fellow believers, and I've already mentioned the service is the outflowing of that. Well, we fill our, we allow the Holy Spirit, if you can just imagine yourself as this cup, and it's like the Holy Spirit is filling us, and it should be overflowing into a hurting world. There should be so much Holy Spirit in us, we can't hold it all. We ought to have Holy Spirit coming out our ears and just flooding onto other people. It's this process that God is molding us, he's making us, he's transforming us. So never grow weary in your longing for that. In your longing for that. I want to, as I pray, I want to ask the praise team to come on back up. Father, just, I'm really humbled, Lord, that you are even mindful of me. That you are mindful of us as a broken people. That you loved us so much that you gave yourself on the cross for our sake so that we might live. Making us a new creation, may we never grow weary of doing good. We may never grow weary of a desire to love and serve others. May we never grow weary in a pursuit of you, in a longing for transformation. We are your children. We are your masterpiece. Carry on this work you've started in us, God. Carry it on, as your word says, to completion. Give us the mind of Christ. Give us the heart of Christ. Give us the service of Christ. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.